How many of you are familiar with the show Survivor? You know what it is. It's a show where they put these people on an island and they take away all their comforts and then they have to survive 39 days and every 3 days they vote someone else off the island. And it's a very, well, I like the show. But one of the things that they do on the show, and they just did this last week, is that they have a loved one's visit. And so they've been out on the island for, I think in this case it was 29 days, 28 days. And they've been isolated from society, isolated from their friends and family. And then they bring one loved one for each contestant that's still on the island. And they bring them out and they run and hug and there's tears. Everyone's crying and so excited. And it made me think about our series, You Are Not Alone, and how sometimes that's what we think of when we think about being lonely, being away from our friends and family. I mean, when you come back from a long trip, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to see your friends, you want to see your family, you want to hug your kids. In Scripture, we see many men and women in the Bible there that suffer with loneliness and deal with loneliness in different ways. Even some of the giants of the faith, if you can call them that, suffered with loneliness. King David, for example, in Psalm 22, writes, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. David feels alone. David feels abandoned. Yet later we read that David is a man after God's own heart. Yet he still feels periods of loneliness. Even the Apostle Paul at times felt lonely. In 2 Timothy 4, 9-11, he reads, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Paul's friends have left him. One of them has even deserted him. And he's feeling lonely at this time. Not only do men and women in Scripture suffer from loneliness, we read in Scripture that God himself feels lonely at times. Let's look at the book of Hosea and listen to what God says in the book of Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to Baals and burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to repent. And the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them, because of their own counsels. My people are bent on backsliding from me, though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. God is seeing his people slip away from him and turn back in rebellion against him, and that hurts God in his loneliness. Lloyd Ogilvie says that the loneliest type of loneliness is the anguish of unrelatedness. It's the disturbing realization of separation and estrangement. It's the longing to love a person, but having that love not reciprocated by that person, by having that love rejected or resisted by the person that you love so deeply. A woman expressed this depth of loneliness over her son who had been into drugs for 13 of his 29 years. She said, I've tried everything. I can't affirm his lifestyle or his values, and I anguish over what he's becoming. I'm trapped. He won't accept either my love or my help. I feel a terrible kind of loneliness. When we love someone and we care about them and we want what's best for them and they reject us, that hurts us deeply, doesn't it? That hurts us to the core. And that's what God feels when he sees his children, you and me, turning their backs on him. We all have at some point in our lives rebuffed God and turned from him before we were followers, not even realizing what he had done for us. But even after we become followers of Christ, we still turn away from God. There are still times when we say, no, God, this is your plan for me, but I just really want to do this right now. Or as Betty talked in Children's Message, I really need to lie right now. We edge him out of our lives. We resist his leading and we resist his love. And this chapter in Hosea shows us that God misses his children. God misses you when you turn from him. And unfortunately, many of us understand a little bit of that. We all have people in our lives that have turned from us for one reason or another. And that gives us just a glimpse of how God feels when you and I turn from him. In addition to God feeling loneliness, we read that Jesus feels loneliness while he was on earth. First off, Jesus is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three separate yet equal and one God, the triune God. They're all separate, but they're all together as God. And together they have existed for all time as one unit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But even God himself separated at one point in Jesus' life. And before that happened, Jesus was arrested. And when Jesus was arrested, he was arrested because what? One of his closest companions, one of his disciples, betrayed him, stabbed him in the back, and turned him over to the Romans for 30 pieces of silver. For 30 pieces of silver, he said, here's Jesus, knowing full well what was going to happen to him. That was one of Jesus' closest friends, one of the closest 12 men to his ministry. And then after he was arrested, did the other 11 circle around Jesus and try to help him and defend him and stand up for him when he was taken and arrested? No. Mark 14 says, then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. At the time of his arrest, they were trying to grab some of the disciples that were with Jesus, and one of them was so intent on getting away that the guy grabbed his clothes and he ran away screaming naked, because they had ripped his clothes off as they tried to grab him and arrest him with Jesus. Have you ever had someone want to get away from you so bad that they'd rather run away from you screaming naked than be with you? Maybe you've wanted to run away screaming naked from someone else. But just think about that. This is Jesus' friend. He spent years, these 3 years together, every day with these disciples, teaching them, training them, loving them. And then things get tough, and they all desert him. Even Peter, one of Jesus' closest companions, denies even knowing Jesus 3 times. You've been stabbed in the back by friends and family members, I'm sure, at one point in your life or another. Jesus understands how you feel. Because in Jesus' time of need, those 12 men that should have been standing up next to him all fled and deserted him, leaving him utterly alone. Jesus predicted that this was going to happen in John 16:32. He says, "But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." He says he's not alone because God the Father is with him. Yet, as I alluded to a minute ago, when Jesus was on the cross, what were his words? He says, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Jesus knew loneliness on the cross like we have never experienced. Being on the cross, being separated from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, was something that he had never experienced before. He was put outside of that relationship that he had known for the sake of you and me. Jesus gave up his existence in the Godhead for that time on the cross so that he could pay the price for your sins and for mine. We've all done things against God. We've all sinned. We've all lied. We've all stolen something. We've all done any number of things. And that separates us from God. And Jesus saw that. And Jesus felt the loneliness of God being separated from you, his creation, his children, and said, "For the sake of you, I will experience loneliness like you can never imagine. And I will be separated from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and take on your sin and pay the price for you, so that you never have to be alone again. You will always be with the Father. You will always be with the Son. You will always be with the Holy Spirit when you accept that gift of salvation." The loneliness that Jesus felt at that moment. Think about being separated instantaneously from that person that you love the most. And that just gives you a sliver of an idea of the loneliness Jesus felt for those hours on the cross. Jesus shows us that the way to defeat loneliness is to remember that we are with the Father, and that Jesus says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is with us to the end. We need to grow in that relationship with God by spending time with him. And spending time with him means spending time alone with him. Jesus spent time alone in the desert. He spent time alone in the garden. John received the letter of Revelation while he was alone on the island of Patmos. And throughout history, we see the leaders of our faith throughout time have had significant spiritual moments when they've been alone with God, away from the hustle and bustle of life. Each of us, as a follower of Christ, is charged with learning God's word, spending time in God's word, and spending time in prayer, cultivating that relationship with God, recognizing the fact that we are not alone, because we can turn to God at any time, and he is there. It's not enough for us to just come and hear some scripture on Sunday morning and call it good for the rest of the week. We need to be in a regular practice of reading God's word and spending time with God in prayer. Now, that's going to look different for all of us. I had someone tell me once that if you don't get up first thing in the morning and read your Bible, that you're just damned to hell. And I said, well, that's going to be a problem for me, because when I read first thing in the morning, I fall asleep. So, but we all have different ways that we can connect with God. For me, I found an app on my phone called YouVersion. It's the Bible. It's put out by lifechurch.tv. And they have different Bible plans. They've got hundreds and hundreds of devotional Bible reading plans that you can get on and read. And your phone, you can set it so your phone will send you a reminder to make sure that you've read for that day. And I found that very helpful. And so I do that because I always have my phone with me, unfortunately. Okay, and you probably have your phone with you too. Okay, so that's a good thing for me. It's an app. And then as for my prayer time, if I sit down and try to pray, my mind starts going all over the place. And I don't know if that's how it is with you. But if I sit down and say, I'm going to pray right now, and I sit still and I fold my hands, I bow my head, I close my eyes, either I'm going to fall asleep or I'm going to start thinking about everything I have to do the rest of the day. So for me, what I've found is that I like to write, and so I journal as I pray. So I never close my eyes when I pray, unless I'm up front, I suppose. But I journal my prayers. And so for me, writing is typing. So I type my prayers. And some people may, oh, that's not very spiritual. But for me, it works. So I write my prayers out every day when I pray. I write them out every day and type them out. And that's what I do for my prayer life. And using the YouVersion app gets me in the Bible every day. Whatever works for you, I encourage you to find something so that you can cultivate that relationship with God. Because if you don't turn to God and recognize that He is with you, you will feel alone. You will feel like you are alone and that God is not with you. The psalmist says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before Him? Is that the cry of your heart? Do you long for God? Do you long for your time reading the Bible or praying? Do you long for your time of worship? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to want to be with Him because He is there and wants to be with you. It's not a chore for God to show up and be with you each day. God longs for that. He desires that. And when you don't connect with God, He feels that loneliness that He described in Hosea, because He wants to spend time with you. Sometimes people ask me, well, what can I pray about? Because they say, well, this stuff seems really petty, and God is so big and so busy with life, and with all these wars and famines, and I don't want to bother God with my little petty problems. And I tell them the same thing every time. I said, if it's important enough for you to think about and worry, it's important enough for you to go to God with. Because nothing that you bring to God is God going to say, oh, that's too small. I'm not really going to concern myself with that. God's concerned about what you're concerned about. And we need to be concerned about what God's concerned about. But if it's something troubling you, take it to God. He wants you to speak with Him and connect with Him and tell Him what's going on in your life. I mean, He knows, but that communication, that prayer, is what builds the relationship so that we can know that we are not alone. This is the end of our series of We Are Not Alone. We've looked at this for 4 weeks. We've looked at the different aspects of loneliness. We've looked at how Jesus says we're not alone because Jesus knows us intimately. We've said that we are not alone because Jesus says He will never leave us. We've talked about that we are not alone because we have a church family. That as we come to know Christ, we are grafted into a church, a local body of believers who is there for one another. And then today we talked about when we feel lonely, we go to a God who knows loneliness like we can never even imagine. know that you are not alone.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.